something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk. Celebrity Book Club. No boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club. Say it loud and proud. Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey best friend!
Oh my god.
Oh my god, this is what we've been waiting for our entire lives.
I really have never been this excited for anything in my life.
Yeah, we're about to do a call-in episode.
For the first time in CBC history, we are listening to your voicemails.
We're going to answer your voicemails.
We're going to talk about them.
We're going to answer them, and then we're going to hang up.
Savagely.
I just watched this movie last night called Hanging Up.
Oh.
Or I finished it.
Well, okay. Yeah, because you can't always finish a movie in one go.
Oh, no. Sometimes it starts here and there. Anyway, it was super inspiring. It was just about sisters calling and hanging up.
Is it weirdly like 2 hours and 27 minutes? Is it like...
No, it's more hidden at like almost 2 hours.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a great length.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Movies these days, In the Heights, you know, Spider-Man, whatever.
Right. 3 hours later, you're still sitting
there. No, thanks.
Multiple bathroom breaks. Wait, and it was a recco.
Super recco. I mean, not like a ton happens, but definitely recco.
Okay, let's move on to the
voicemails. Let's move on to the voicemails. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's fucking do this.
Ring, ring. You've reached Lily and Steven.
Hey, best friends. I am so glad you have a hotline because I have a pressing question involving the Property Brothers. So I grew up in far North Dakota. And I don't know if you remember seeing these TMZ headlines of when they were involved in a bar brawl in a Irish bar called Dempsey's in downtown Fargo. Actually, one of my friends called the TMZ tip line to report it, and they got the leaked security camera footage. So I have a couple questions because I haven't had the pleasure of reading It Takes Two. One, do they discuss the bar brawl in the book? And what are your thoughts? Two, who do you think would win in a bar brawl? Which brother? And you can include the third brother that lives in Las Vegas with the crazy hair. All right. Well, Buddha. Bye-bye.
Buddha!
Buddha bitches.
Buddha bitches. Thank you so much for your call. Yeah, Fargo. I'm obsessed. This was not covered in the book.
They're definitely not talking about this in the book.
No.
I'm kind of surprised because they like seem like just pansies.
I'm shocked. I mean,
turned on.
I'm imagining someone else was like, oh, you come into our town and you try to renovate a home.
Okay. The way that got so Jamaican Irish. What?
That's me fart. You tried to put gray laminate flooring. How dare ya?
So I want to say that it was Jonathan.
Yeah, I agree.
Miss Magician. Because, like,
that's a magician to get so defensive and really angry.
She's just, like, a little bit more unstable than Drew.
And what's so funny is I feel
like he also, like, had that period where he was, like, inconsolable for 2 years after his divorce. Like, I just feel like,
brother-wise, Jonathan is so the one that starts the bar fight that he can't handle. And then Drew is the one that picks up the slack because he actually can fight better. But is, like, he's a little more, like, peaceful. And I feel like he works out a bunch, as we discussed in the app. And he's like, I'll back you up in a fight. But Jonathan's the one that's you want to go?
Classic story. The slightly fatter brother gets into a fight. And then the one who works out has to kind of save him. And then they rush out of the bar. And it's very just like every movie slash that movie. Louis Logan Lucky that I told you to watch recently.
Logan Lucky.
It's a Soderbergh film.
Oh.
It's the one where they like, it's like a heist at a racetrack.
Okay, I need to watch
Channing Tatum, who is one of your style icons.
Yeah. Okay, haven't seen, and thank you for reminding me.
Anyway, thank you for that insane Fargo tea.
I'm also obsessed that your friend is the one who, like, called the tea. Like, is that Dempsey's just being like, bitch, hold on, I need to go and call TMZ.
I mean, that's some insane coppery, but go off, I guess.
You think that's being a cop? I mean, it's Property Brothers. They're calling TMZ.
I've just never been someone to submit to, like, a tip line. I don't tattle.
Okay. You're not a fucking rat.
No, I'm not a rat.
I've been seeing, of course, in my Instagram feed, multiple people across people I follow wearing these shirts that say, don't believe rats. I'm getting one for you. Okay, next call.
Hey, best friend. I have more of a comment than a question, really, which is just that I love the pod and I can't wait to actually call with a question, but I can't think of one now. I just needed to express my gratitude and love. Okay, best.
Wow, short and sweet.
Love fans, bye.
Thank you. And just like, if you do kind of feel that way, like, please do feel free to just like screen grab your favorite 10-second audio clip from a podcast.
And post it on Instagram.
And at VoodooVH and Lily Blue Eyes so we can repost.
We love posts.
If you kind of have that energy, that just like solid fan energy, like that would be a great place to channel it into.
That actually feels very radio where someone calls or like, any birthdays or shout outs or questions? And they're like, this is Casey, and I'm just calling in to say that I love the radio show.
Oh, and then they're like, this and is actually like, a birthday thank you. Line.
Hi, huge fan of the podcast. I was inspired by Lily posting from her Honda Fit. I was wondering if you guys can tell me which celebrity, either from, or like character from the books you covered, or, you know, any celebrity, would you most associate with a Honda element? The Honda Element is the only car I've ever, it's what I learned to drive on. My best friend had it in college. It's like the only car I've ever felt comfortable with. But I think it's a very strange car, but they still exist, even though they've been like out of commission. So, what celebrity is the Honda Element of celebrities or a side character? Thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Okay, wait, can
screaming.
I go? Okay, wait, I know I already have my answer. Can I
okay,
just go?
Okay, go.
Olivia Munn.
Oh, she's so element.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, did he say any celebrity or
he
people?
He said any celebrity.
Okay. Well, because she's like
she's
guy's
a
ga- girl,
guy's
but it's
girl,
twisted.
Gamer girl.
Yeah,
like,
and the she, element is so
but
gamer.
It's so gamer and it's so like 2011 slash like 2004. Like it's just random.
The fact that you learn to drive in an element and have like multiple
and only
friends.
Ever driven an element and you're in this like very dedicated element community is kind of insane.
I love my fit though. So thank you for calling that out. Okay. Out of the people that we've read, I'm going to say like Batch Property Brothers, Drew Scott's wife in an element. Small woman, big element. Small girl, big element.
Okay, yeah, Toronto stuff. Because she's like, she's working at a fashion event.
Yes, and she needs to be packing like
producer.
Tons of fashion
yeah,
tape
no.
and outfits
because that,
and
that
element.
Car to me is so like Pontiac Aztec, where it's like one of those cars where they're like, they're advertising all of the like random functionality so much. They're like, and the headrest like unfolds and becomes a Bluetooth speaker and there's a cooler inside. And it's like,
the fact that
this?
It's like this woman is like folding down the chairs in the element and there's like
to put in her like mini kayak.
A mini kayak, golden retriever, and like coffee pots and then is like folding them back up. And all of a sudden, she's in a glamorous gown and she's going to an event in her element.
It's from kayak to gown.
Done. Honda up. I have to go to the Plaza Honda Repair Center tomorrow to get a repair for a free warranty safety recall. And so see y'all there.
Is your car about to explode?
No, it's so random. They're like, there was a safety recall on the painting of the shaft of 2008 Honda Fits. Please come in. That shaft recall.
I've had to recall a few shaft paintings as well.
Okay, next call.
Hey, Tikas. I want to know how you pronounce the sticky sweet treat that's spelled C-A-R-A-M-E-L. How to pronounce this word is maybe the only real fight I've ever had with my boyfriend. And it's been sustained over a few months. Just curious what your take is, and also maybe discussion on if one two-syllable versus three-syllable preference there is a little more pretentious or cultured, or, you know, what your take on that is. And I don't really want to hear anything about pronunciations being regional, because I did conduct some independent research of my own via an Instagram poll, and then conducted a thorough analysis of where the respondents hailed from, and it's kind of all across the board for both pronunciations. So this is something that weighs a little heavy on my conscience, and I really trust you two to help me hash it out. Thanks so much.
Okay, first of all, don't tell me what to say or not to say.
Yeah, just like, I don't want to hear it. It's like, no. Maybe. It's like, you came to us with an insanely specific question about candy pronunciation, and then you're like, I don't want to hear this. It's like,
I mean, first of all, we both say caramel.
We both say caramel.
We're not insane. We're not like from the Midwest and say caramel or whatever.
Oh, I was thinking, because when she said regional, I was like, what is the other way to say it? And I think I was thinking like caramel is more like British, like caramel.
Caramel.
Like, oh, my mates and I get together. We have a sticky, sticky time and eat caramel and go to the pictures. And
sticky
we
mates.
See Timothée Chalamet and Emily Wickerham. And we drink mad caramel.
I mean, clearly this girl is confining her research to American regions. Yeah. Like, I can tell from the poll that she ran. She doesn't have a global audience, sorry.
Caramel is, you really got to go to England, because I feel like they have a larger candy market there.
They're way more into sweets.
They're more into, like, sweets and, like, candy shops and...
Yeah.
Because, so wait, Midwestern...
I actually don't know if it's Midwestern. I just know that caramel to me is weird and, like, that's wrong.
I don't think it's Midwestern. I bet Midwesterners also say, like, caramel.
Maybe it's, like,
caramel
Southern
is,
Mid-Atlantic.
I think,
you know,
caramel,
what I mean? It could be, like,
is California, darling. Caramel.
No. Well, caramel. There is a town in California called Carmel, and maybe you're thinking of that.
Right. Maybe that's why they're like...
But I think they say caramel in a normal way. I mean, the other thing that's similar to this is Caribbean versus Caribbean.
And
I mean, I will say in general...
I say both.
I say both as well. Like, Caribbean is a little bit more like steel drums. Like, it has a rhythm to it. Like, Caribbean. Like, da-da-da-da. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. And sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, we went to the Caribbean.
Okay. Actually, I think that Caribbean is, like, more colonizing. To me, it's more like the Caribbean, darling.
And
I think of Caribbean as a little bit more like we're going to Aruba on vacation.
We went to the Caribbean. Like, we got a 5 nights. Six.
Yeah, I'm doing a 5 nights, like $6.99 per person, yeah, all inclusive. Like, that's Caribbean. Whereas, like, Caribbean is a little bit more, you know, refined and snooty. And so, yes, maybe I do think caramel is more pretentious, but it's just more fun to say things in more syllables. Like,
I just want to talk about, I used to be obsessed. Did you ever eat Carmelo's or Carmelo? It was like just chocolate full of caramel. You break
off
a piece.
It's kind of an eggy kind of shape. It's an oval shape.
Squares, I think.
Okay, then I don't know.
And you break it off. And it's luxurious. And I don't think I could do that much caramel right now. As someone who is older and has blood on their teeth.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
as a child, I loved.
I've never been into caramel. It's too sticky. I don't like it getting all over my teeth.
Well,
like,
it has to be with other stuff. A nougat, nuts.
Yeah, Milky Way. All right,
okay,
let's
moving
call.
On.
Hey, best friend.
really, I'm just calling first time to tell, well, a question. What is Lily's astrological sign? I would like to know. And I just love you, Lily. Not in a weird way, in like a very cool way. Like, just like very chill. But like, I would walk from Medford to Dorchester for you. You know what I mean? I mean, I take it that Steven is a Gemini, and maybe it's been mentioned and I just missed it. But if you could drop the deets, that'd be really great. Okay. Beth.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Well, yeah. I don't know, Steven, would you mind leaving for a second?
It's because really steamy.
Me and my new best friend have stuff to talk about. Yeah, so I'm flattered. I am a Sagittarius. I will release my birthday. My father would hate it if I'm doing this. It's December 1st. So early Sag.
Same day as
Brittany, or maybe she's the second. It's
she's
Joan.
Either the second or the first.
I feel like it's Joan Rivers. It's Woody Allen. Okay.
That my birthday is Joan Rivers.
Oh,
so no. You.
So again, you left the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's Woody Allen or Brittany, and
two icons of the stage.
Yeah. Medford to Dorchester. How long would that take? I feel like that would take 5 hours.
God, just hearing that, like, alt brunette girl leave this message and, like, seeing how horny you are for her and just, like, the way that this girl, just by her voice alone, like, is your high school dream.
No, it's kind of this badass, like, low voice. Maybe we go see a show together.
Ugh, enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Episode 5, episode 6. I fucked this guy. Do you remember when I fucked this guy? One person says they'd walk from Medford to Dorchester for me.
I'm obsessed. I'm very happy.
You're like, I'm happy for you. It's totally fine.
So are you going to go on that walk?
Yeah, I'm going to go on a long lesbian walk with our fam.
Sounds cold.
Not in the hot.
Bundle up.
Not in the hot Medford summer.
What is your summer walking look?
God, that would be a hot walk, though.
Yeah.
Medford to summer.
You really need to hydrate.
Me in these Volcom shorts. Just
sometimes
pacing.
I think about this one time I had a can of Coca-Cola from a from a vending machine right next to the Science Museum, like right by Leechman. Okay.
I love it. I love it.
You know an iconic can.
Yeah.
You
yes.
know a can
no,
that's burned
so
into memory.
Good at
and
the
it
first
was so
can.
Hot and it was so sweaty and I was like 10 or something, and just that can't to me, like, it made me be a Coca-Cola brand loyalist for life. I was just like, nothing has ever tasted as refreshing or delicious as this one can of Coke.
The only time I've ever become a Pepsi stan is once I bought a Pepsi and I got a tiny little catalog of all this cool Pepsi merch. And that's the lesbian in me is like
merch first.
And I was like, and I wanted everything. It was like Pepsi shorts, Pepsi duffel. And I was like, I'm a Pepsi bitch now. But other than that, I mean, obviously. But
it's
first,
disgusting.
Coke. Anyway, love you. Let's go on a walk.
Next call.
My name's Steven, a listener from Michigan. I'm going to be in the NYC area visiting a good friend on July 17th to the 19th. And I was wondering if there was any good comedy related events happening in the city, or maybe just overall food recommendations. You two seem to be like hardcore foodies over there that you'd like to dole out. So appreciate it. Love the pod. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, girl, it's called Google. 17th to 19th? Well, I'm not going to be here.
Food events. I mean, don't push that. We are, you're like, oh, haha, how dare you ask us?
No,
Google,
I will talk
about is restaurants.
No, I know, but he also asked for comedy events.
Oh, comedy events? I mean, yeah, again, timeout.com. But
okay, food. Where?
Food.
Okay, well, I will say go to Rolo's in Ridgewood. It's my new favorite restaurant in the city. It's incredible, and everything's under $20. The menu is shockingly affordable, started by 3 Garrison Tavern alums. The shrimp is out of this world.
I haven't been here yet, but everyone is saying Domka on Delancey and Essex is like restaurant. Our fan Hannah Goldfield, New York critic, New Yorker critic. It's an Indian restaurant.
Okay.
And I'm seeing a lot of people post about it.
Okay. So the New Yorker jumped off a bridge. What are you
doing? You're doing? My mother certainly would. Okay. Also, here's some fun stuff of our favorite places. Gottesher Hall. I love that. If you're randomly in Ridgewood, like, get a huge beer there. Other places.
Kiki's is an amazing restaurant. The food's really good. And you can get, like, table wine for, like, 10. And it's, like... Got the lamb, and it's great to share, and honestly, the prices aren't bad. It's very, can be, like, tough to get in, but
that's the point. It's more the scene. It's not, but
the food is actually really good.
Right,
there are places that are sceney, like,
and
the place.
Dorms!
Like, in Dimes Square. Literally Dimes. We don't, like, know anyone who works there anymore. We don't have to, like...
Right. It's just fun to do that.
Okay.
I would say, honestly, like, Koreatown, that's fun. Do Koreatown.
Either get a karaoke room or, like, go to one of the barbecue places on 35th.
And also, New York cheesy pizza, quote my favorite line from America's Next Top Model.
What's your favorite pizza spot in the city?
I'm going to say, if we're talking for just that big old slice, go to Joe's or Bleecker. In the West Village.
I agree. Joe's or Bleecker for the big slice.
It'd be fun. Go to Joe's, get one slice, and then go to Bleecker, and then do this whole, which one was better?
Yeah. And just like the actual pie vibes. I mean, I'm still kind of just like thinking about this Emily slice that I had a while back that I was like, that was so fucking good.
Well, if you're going to go to Brooklyn, go to Clinton Hill and go to Emily's. Yeah. For if you want that like Neapolitan pie. I'm almost like, let's drive there and go there after this.
Wait, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, and just like be like late night duck
Michael
in.
And I went to Lombardi's yesterday in Soho. I don't know if you've ever been. And it's like random and touristy, but like is kind of good.
It's the oldest pizza place in America.
Okay, the fact that you did know that tidbit. Because when they said that, I was just like, anyone could say that. That's got to be fake. But
you know why I know that? Well, one, because I'm a historian. Two, because I went to the second oldest pizza place in America.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what's the first? And I thought it was Grimaldi's.
It's actually Lombardi's.
It's actually Lombardi's.
Yeah.
And I went to the second oldest pizza place in America, and that is where my mother lives, in Utica, when I had that disgusting upside-down pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they... That's a whole nother
episode. No, I know. It's like, that's the second... The fact that, like, you've been doing that for that long and no one's ever said, hey, maybe rethink this.
Yeah, it's like, check yourself. Okay, those are our recs for now. But, yeah, Grub Street. Honestly, New York Magazine Grub Street. That's, like, a classic fun
Yeah, check
thing.
Out the infatuation. They'll steer you in the right direction.
But truly, get... Oh, also, go to Joe's Shanghai or Shanghai Cafe for soup dumplings.
Wow. Okay, the basicness of this pod. Now we're just talking about the soup dumplings.
Well, whatever. But yeah. Namwa.
Go to Keens in Midtown. Okay, next call.
Hey, besties. So I'm a recent listener of the pod. Loving it, always. I was really excited to find out that you both are from Massachusetts, because I am also a filthy mass hole myself. And my question is, I've found myself gravitating towards other people that are also from Massachusetts without even knowing it. Like, I just recently moved to a new city, and one of the first friends that I've made here happened to grow up in the little town next to mine. So I was wondering if you think there's something that spiritually, vibrationally, physically connects us all in our shared experience of growing up in Massachusetts. And then my second question would be, who is your favorite celebrity from the great state of Massachusetts? Okay, love you. Bye.
Family, God, loyalty, love of seafood, and an ass-kicking attitude.
Blood over everything.
Chowder. Is my blood. And that's why we come together.
When I wake up in the mornings, I gotta peel clams off my eyes, okay? Because they just fucking come out of me. I'm not fucking New England. Fuck you. I mean, yes, people are drawn to people who are like them.
Well, there's that famous study, darling, about, you know, people who meet each other and they fall in love.
Mm.
And they find out, oh,
right,
we actually grew up near each other.
Wait, have you ever had sex with anyone from Massachusetts? Oh, wait, this is about to get so awkward.
Wait, I literally
haven't. Not even Grave.
Oh, no.
Wait,
that's sick of me.
Yeah, it's really weird. You're awkward. Yeah. You actually don't care about blood or family or loyalty.
Insane poser.
My third boyfriend, Arthur, is from Massachusetts.
Right. Western Mass.
Western Mass, which
is... does that count?
It does. It does.
Yeah, it's
definitely Massachusetts.
No, it's... Oh, no. And it's Western Mass, and that's even,
it's
like...
It's very a vibe.
Yes, it's such a vibe.
Because that vibe is not replicated anywhere else.
It truly isn't.
But, and then, of course, our good friend Sam has been dating a fellow Massachusettsan for a decade.
Well, they are the most, I would say, not only... They're both from Massachusetts.
They're both named Sam.
Their parents went to high school with each other.
Yeah, it's literally like...
Like, okay, to Marblehead High or whatever. So that's messed up. I mean, I think you're drawn... I think in Massachusetts, yes, obviously we joke, you know, loyalty, blood. But I think there's, you know, a reverence, you know? We're all kind of, you know...
Well, here, okay.
Shit kick us.
Here's the thing about Massachusetts. Like, obviously, it's always sort of billed as one of the smartest states, right?
Mm-hmm. Culture hub.
Huge culture hub, huge education hub, huge healthcare hub. I mean, Boston is...
Biotech.
Yeah. Absolute huge magnet for biotech whaling. and the seafood industry. And so... There is, I think, like, comedians, definitely there's a lot of comedians from Massachusetts, right? We see an Amy Poehler and Jimmy Fallon.
Rachel Dratch.
And, like, so there's, like, a kind of, you know, there's a creative energy coming out of there.
Well, because it has this East Coast Irish Catholic.
But it's not as glamorous as, like, the California creative energy or as maybe, like, you know, musically inclined.
Comedy comes out of tragedy.
Yeah,
and, you know, Midwest. It's a tragedy, a fucking weather.
Right.
And our traffic, that's a tragedy. Okay? I was stuck in a tunnel for 24 hours.
I mean, you remember the guy who fucked me and then told me that my asshole looked like the Ted Williams tunnel.
Best quote in the entire world.
I remember once driving to school and my mother was like fucking a maniac. I mean, she was driving so fast and we were like getting onto Starro and like I'm looking at the car next to us. It's like 7:45 in the morning. There's maybe a centimeter between our car and the next car. And I'm like grabbing on, like I'm like holding on to the seats.
For
I'm like,
dear life.
Mom, I think you're too close to him. And she just goes, he's too close to me. It was like really deranged. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess this is...
Yeah,
in the water.
Live or die.
Yeah.
Well, now that I think about it, my girlfriend, she is from New York, but her father's from Duxbury.
Okay, there you go.
So there you go. She's so half in the Fenway's in her DNA.
Okay, who's your favorite person from your town? Because you know who's from my town, Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, of course. He went to Newton South.
Yeah.
Done. I mean, I got to say it. I know it's cliche. Matt and Ben. Okay, Cambridge. Right. I mean, it's, sorry.
Yeah.
That's boring, but it's true.
Were they actually from Cambridge?
They're literally from Cambridge.
But neither of them is from Southie?
No.
That's just like
that's the whole... Okay, yeah, they're literally from Cambridge. At Cafe A, that pizza place in the garage.
Oh, I remember Cafe A.
Okay,
bitch.
That's like their favorite pizza place. And then there was that pizza place next to Middle East. They were like framed there, and that was their other favorite pizza place. They went to Ringe, and everyone had a story. Oh, my older sister went to Ringe with Ben.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, like rock the fuck on, like Shamrock Shake up in this
literally
show.
Boston Strong. Celebrity Book
Club. This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
Next call.
Hey, I'm Miles. I love the pod. I just wanted to say, first off, I met your producer because accidentally the line that you have goes to her phone, and she was very nice, and you should give her a pay raise. And the other thing is, I have a random story that I feel like you guys should investigate to see if anyone else has this thing happen to them. Where one time I was smoking weed in Baltimore, and there was a guy who came up to me and like offered me a joint, and I was like, sure, let's smoke. And I later found out it was Hunter Biden. Yeah, wild. Maybe find someone else. Love the pod. You guys do good work. Talk to you later. Yeah, bye.
Jaws dropped.
Gagood.
Wow.
The way he is just out there.
Literally just around.
Just full, just, well, walk up to anyone.
Hunter walking Biden.
I feel like I could go hang out in D.C. for a while and maybe something would happen.
Yeah, I think if we just kind of walk around, it's like if you hang out at a park.
Remember that time that I almost got arrested blowing that guy in the back of a car in the parking lot of a police station in D.C.?
Oh, yeah. In a Corolla?
I think it was a Corolla.
I mean, that is one of your iconic...
And the cop car, Ron, all these lights start flashing, and the cop car like comes in, and we were just like, oh, we were just making out. I mean, I don't know why like a blowjob is illegal,
right?
But and then he was like, okay, well, you do realize you're in the parking lot of a police station.
Okay, so that, it wasn't that you can make out or blow. It's more just like you're in a parking lot of a police station.
You really came up here to like steam up this Corolla in the parking lot.
It's very like like that is so America's dumbest criminals. It's
America's dumbest faggots.
Yeah. Okay, that is a coffee table book.
but you know, got off with a warning or whatever, and
so it was like, and you I do mean got off. So you finished.
I want to say neither of us finished, but maybe, and I'm not sure if this is my own lore.
You finished
lore,
as you kind of
or like
rolled
he
down
finished
the
like as the cop was like bashing the mag light against.
Oh, I bet
the
he
glass,
did.
And it was like oh, and then you're swallowing because you don't have any other choice.
I mean, the other choice would be
spit it in the cop's face.
Yes, spit cum all over this DC cop, and then it's actually Hunter Biden being like, "Can I stay in your car tonight?"
Sorry, my homeless woman best friend actually just like has the keys to my place and I can't get in. I think she's passed out. I just want to sleep here.
Just one night.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, that's epic gossip. I'm sure we could do some investigative journalism and that has happened to a lot of people.
Has it? I'm trying to think
smoking
if anyone else
with
said
Hunter.
About Hunter.
I mean, no one I've talked to personally, but.
Yeah, no, it's not happening yet. But yeah, please let us
hashtag
know.
Hashtag, have you smoked with Hunter?
Or have you fucked Hunter? Or have you seen Hunter? I mean, I thought I saw him drinking a beer in Brooklyn Heights a couple weeks ago, as I had said to you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it could have been like any kind of like bearded 42-year-old.
But like, wouldn't he?
I mean, absolutely, yes. He's like drinking a hazy.
No, he's not sober.
IPA.
Okay, next call.
Hi, I'm a club kid. My name is Paul. I am obsessed. I have to ask you both, Lily and Steven, if and when, not if, when you two become off the chart celebrities, A-list celebrities, and someone will inevitably be writing a biography of each or both of you at the same time, and someone else will be doing CBC podcast at that point because you'll be so fucking old and wrinkled. What do you wear? What do you eat? How do you live? What will they come up with? And also, who will play each of you in the straight-to-DVD special by MGM Studios that when they make their movie about you two? Who will play your part in the Andrew Weinstein-produced comedy drama of CBC, the musical? Love!
Wow. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. I feel like some of these questions are feeling very like an interview on like cinespace.com or something where you're like, and who would play you in a movie?
I mean, that's always a fun cue. Okay. So first it's segments on us of our future.
Of these who inherits our podcast when we're old and wrinkled.
I
which
also
we
love
won't
that
be thanks to apostrophe skincare.
And our mental health will be on point from betterhelp.com.
I don't know if our
I also love that our podcast will be inherited.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like we pass it down kind of in like a Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy type of way.
Exactly. The Ken Jennings to our Alex Trebek. I don't know if our Ken is going to be like so perceptive and really nailing our, you know.
Don't you think we're choosing someone who's like.
Who's such a brilliant, observant mind.
Why else would we give them our podcast?
I feel like at that point it's going to be so Halston and like out of our control. And it's like our podcast will be 80% controlled by investors.
No,
and
the just like. The estate is handling it.
The estate is handling it. And it's just like they're mostly based in China.
Our grandnieces are losing rights to our CBC estate.
Absolutely.
It's producers Meg's like great granddaughter who's running the estate.
Right. And like, and she was married to this user, and like, he passed, and his family was trying to get their hands on it for a while, and there's a lot of legal drama about it. So that's why I'm not so confident in our
legal stuff. But anyway, thank you for calling it as it is, that it's straight to DVD, because I think we'll obviously revert to DVD, and
we're big DVD heads over here.
Yeah, our special will be. Anyway, let's just do who will play us. Once we've gotten famous.
I mean, the body that I'm going for at the gym right now is Timothée Chalamet in The King on Netflix, which I don't know if you ever saw.
No, but I know who Timothée
Right,
Chalamet
you could imagine.
Is.
I mean, yeah. He's very thin, but like toned.
Timothée, yeah. I think of him as quite thin.
But he's a little more like toned in that movie. Because he's okay. Like a king.
Kings are toned. I think of
no. Well, kings are fat.
So
well, no, but
gout,
kings are a little
skinny,
bit bigger.
Fat.
So they had to make him like a little bit like bigger.
Okay, to but gain like veal weight.
Yeah, he has a little bit of veal weight on him.
I've never
had veal.
Really, you know, I'm a huge veal fan. I've never really heard you talk about Timothée.
Yeah, it's not well to me. Obviously, like it's a little in that genre of conversation that we refer to as girls who like The Sopranos, which is like kind of not my thing. So
it's also the lesbian version because I feel like there was a period where all lesbians got the Timothée,
right.
And I think. Again, bring it back to when I got my famous haircut in February, is like people were like, oh, get the Timothée. And I was like, I'm not going to be just like any other fucking lesbian.
Sidebar,
like,
you kind
Timothée.
Of went back to Bouffant today.
Oh, yeah, I did. I Bouffanted today because it's wicked hot out. And I was like, I need to put my hair up.
You came in and I was like, oh my God, it's 2020, Lily. pandemic Lily in the house.
soft pants. Lily? Yeah.
Who would play you?
Who would play me? I was
Jeff Bridges.
He was on my hair mood board. Sorry. Jeff Bridges at the Oscars. I mean, not to be so Twitter.
Okay, but would it be so like Natalie Portman and she's winning an Oscar?
Well, I was going to say.
Butch portrayal.
Yeah, it's so and it's like, I'm not trying to get Natalie Portman like canceled. Like when ScarJo is going to play that like 1920s, like famous, like trans gangster.
Right. Wait, did she ever play that? Or she like.
No, they
canceled
like.
Out?
She bowed out because she realized. I was going to be so Twitter girl Soprano and I was going to say Jim Scandalfini's son.
Wait, is that it? Does he have a son?
Yeah. And he's playing him in some like young Tony in some reboot.
That's cool.
Yeah, like cool stuff. I'm trying to think of now, like, child actors randomly, because I'm like...
Oh, because we're like, who will...
who will play us? I'm like, Natalie Portman's going to be like 80.
She's got a young face, though.
I'm just like, okay, I want Siobhan from Mare of Easttown to play me.
Okay, nailed it. I agree.
Done.
Thank you so much for your call. Next.
Hey, guys. Love you both. Steven, I saw you at Dover Street the other week with your mom, and I averted eye contact because I enjoy all your content. So obviously, I never want to see or speak with you. Anyway, sorry, boring-ass question. I'm only asking because I'm a genius. I was wondering, what are your guys' favorite books in general, like celebrity or otherwise? And are there any books that you claim to have read but haven't?
Wow, I'm so seen.
Wow, McDonald's.
Dover Street. Can't walk out of my goddamn apartment without being clocked by a gay guy.
You really can't. And I guess, me too.
Well, I mean, you got seen at the coffee shop.
Bye, gay guy.
Thank you so much for not coming up to me and respecting my privacy. Although my mom...
Time with his family.
That would have been really... I feel like my mom would have been very impressed by that. That would have been kind of cool. She would have been talking about it all day. She would have been like, oh, Stephen got recognized. Doug, did you tell what happened at the store?
No, it's a Steve. And it would make her really believe that this little podcast we're doing.
Yeah.
So actually, yeah, if you see Steve with his mom, absolutely.
Yeah, do say hi. I mean, obviously she would have like forgotten about it by the next day. But that's cool. Privacy is amazing. Honestly, I'm kind of like anti-literate. Like I'm always like saying that I hate books and I don't read. Right. So I definitely wouldn't claim to read a book that I haven't read.
Yeah, I don't even think you would lie about that.
Yeah. What's your favorite book besides To Kill a Mockingbird, obviously?
Of course, number one. Number two, the Bible. Favorite book? Okay. I mean, I have a few. I'll just spout some off.
Yeah, it's your podcast. Go for it.
Okay. Okay, I do love this kind of a trendy book now. It's just I do love the book Priest Daddy by Patricia Lockwood. It's also kind of memoir-esque.
Oh, you actually are so
I'm
book.
Obsessed. No, I'm like, here we go.
My boyfriend reads books. Your girlfriend works in publishing. Like, you also read the books. Like, you guys are always reading, like, all the books.
Read. So I love that. Iconic lesbian book. I love Valencia by Michelle T.
And they're always genre-defying works of autofiction.
They vary our autofiction, but if we're talking... fiction boots, I love me an Ellen Hildebrand. That's what gets me going on a summer morning. Nantucket Nights is the one that really turned me on, but her latest, Summer of 69 or something, made me cry.
You cried at a Hildebrand?
No, I know. Isn't that insane? I literally cried at a Hildebrand. These are books literally just about secrets revealed on Nantucket.
They're all beach reads, and they're all literally take place on Nantucket, and they're written by this woman who lives on Nantucket, and it's insane. I'm obsessed with. I mean, I'm trying to remember the last book I read that wasn't for this podcast. Wait, I did read a book, though. Didn't I?
Swimming Pool. Don't you like that book? Swimming Pool Libraries?
Yeah, this gay book. I mean, I read that, like, it's been a few years.
Okay.
It's I read a book every 4 years. I mean, the books that I did really like were the Hunger Games books. And then I think I saw the movie and then I read the books, which was the same thing with, like, oh, but the Girl with the Dragon, the toy, I read those.
You love a good
those books.
Mysterious blockbuster about, like, a girl.
Yeah, that's aimed at, like, people who are of high school reading level. I don't like young adult books, but I like books that are aimed at someone who has that vocabulary.
Yeah, but that's also just like general bestseller adult vibes.
But I'm not reading any of the current genre-defying works of autofiction that are on the bestseller list. I'm not Miss Patricia Lockwood over here.
No, you're not. I'm a genius.
Oh God, have you read Detransition, baby? Oh, it's so good. Or
I mean,
like,
that's a book I have started but did not finish. But also,
like,
we read
Sally
a book
Rooney
a week
or whatever. Like,
no, I watch the Hulu Morning People, but I would say I truly LOL'd actually out loud at Priest Daddy.
Wait, like, I like that you just called it Morning People. I don't think that's what it's called.
Sorry, normal people.
It's like this mix of the morning show. And
I remember once I was like trying to read a William Faulkner book, and you and friend of the pod, Daniel, like roasted me to filth.
You just had to put it down?
Yeah, because you were like, oh, what are you doing? Like, reading this, like, for show?
Was it like the Canterbury Tales or whatever?
No, it was some, like, Southern Gothic novel.
I know. Any book that's written before 1990, I'm just like, okay, it's the Bible. Oh, and I did read that gay detective book, like, last summer.
Oh, that I gave you. That was, like, based on
that's
Albany?
That's about, like, an Albany gay detective in, like, the 80s. That was good. If there is, like, gay murder in it. Oh, and I read that the other one, Dennis Cooper, The Sluts. So I will read a book if there is, like, gay murderous sex in it. But, like, it has to really hit all of my interests for me to read it if it's not, like, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or something.
No, I mean, I will read any book about lesbians. Oh, I was obsessed with this book. I also don't remember the name. It was, like, a British lesbian chick lit.
Oh, and I started reading that. I do like that book, In the Deep End or whatever.
Yes, that book is really good.
And I need to finish that because that is really fun.
Bring that to Marseille.
Okay, I will.
Or, sorry, I hope you're reading it in Marseille.
Oh, yeah, currently where I am according to the timeline of this podcast and when it is released.
Okay, so books.
Next.
Hi, Club Kids. This is Kate. I'm calling in to tell you a little story regarding Kel. Good old Kel. That episode gave me a lot of anxiety because I was actually called on the phone by Kelly Patrone a couple years ago and yelled at about an article that I wrote about her guru, Amma. So it was about 2013. I was definitely still stealing from American Apparel. And I had been an intern, an unpaid intern at this, you know, cool fashion art magazine. But then I got promoted and I became the arts editor, pretty much not knowing what I was doing, with a very, very low salary, under 25K a year, I think. So I was interviewing artists and fashion people, and I did an article with a co-worker on Amma, the hugging guru who goes around and hugs people, and celebrities love her, and they, like, wait in line to get hugged, and, you know, it's a big deal. So we wrote this article, and, you know, naturally, because of the culture wars, we were very snarky and kind of made some comments about, like, free hugs or whatever. Don't mind the screaming. I live in Mexico City. They're selling gas on the street. So we wrote this article, thought it was fine. It went to print. And a couple days later, I randomly got a actual phone call from Kelly Catrone's assistant, who immediately connected me to the PR maven herself. And she reamed me out for casting a negative, unresearched, and snarky light on a spiritual leader, and basically told me that if we didn't update the article, I would face a defamation lawsuit. So I went online and I updated the online version, and I never told my boss. And I hope that no one ever, you know, looked at the actual print version. And then the magazine went under, and I never got in trouble. So it's true. Kelly does give good phone.
Thank you so much for this call and this full deep dive on Kel. I'm one again, so obsessed with Kelly Catrone and just how she will pick up that BlackBerry, get the number in a second. She's in her live workspace. Get me the fucking number for this dim-witted bitch.
Amma's not even her client. And she's going in. She's just a supporter.
She's just that obsessed with Amma.
Yeah, and she just hates when she's disparaged and defamed.
And it's like, sorry, you're going to pay money to bring up your own personal defamation lawsuit in honor of your guru? I mean, this is where also it's like, Kel, you're getting too Nixian with this, where you're ready to put down, like, I don't know much about the law, but I know this.
She probably wouldn't have, though.
It's the threat. It's empty threats.
It's empty threats.
People love saying lawsuit.
She's a screamer. She's a phoner.
Which is so also intern culture. It's just screaming on the phone. And it's all empty threats.
You know, I'm
kind of surprised that Kelly was that scary that she changed it. But I guess she, this girl was saying, like, she was young and she was only making, you know, 25K a year.
She had just gotten promoted from intern. So yeah, she's like, she wasn't
so confident in her, like, voice yet.
No, and she's like, I have my first, you know, real title. And here's this scary, scary publicist. She probably already had a show. You know, and Kel, she could blacklist you, all of New York. She's thinking, okay, so I'm an arts and culture writer. If Kel blacklists me, I can't get into this gallery show. I can't get into this fashion show, blah, blah, blah. I would obviously, like, instantly delete the article if Kelly Catrone yelled at me.
I think that I would have...
I think you would have stood your ground.
I would have stood my ground. I would have pushed back. I'm really trying to find the article. I can't figure it out. Is it this one on Oprah.com?
It sounds like it was deleted.
Wait, the whole article was deleted?
That's what she said.
No, she said she just updated the online version and the print version was still there.
Hmm. Okay, this is where we have to get so microfiche and, like, go to NYPL.
Maybe that's why I can't find it, because it's, like, a deleted magazine. And it was so, like, was it just, like, the New York Sun or, like, one of those newspapers that doesn't exist anymore?
And it's O'Carey, Bradshaw.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm sorry that we sort of took you down that journey and that was scary for you.
That sounds terrifying.
I hate to trigger folks at the same time. Like, maybe it was cathartic.
Probably. Because she was like, oh, okay, this is a whole book about Kelly Catrone being scary and, like, being too obsessed with Alma.
Okay, next call.
Hey, best friend. Big time fan of the pod here. I wanted to share some gossip that I have from my recent Memorial Day weekend in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And that's that I saw Colton Underwood, famous gay bachelor, partying at Atlantic House, a very famous gay bar in Provincetown, Massachusetts. I believe he may have been filming his new reality TV show in which Gus Kenworthy shows him around the gay community. That was not confirmed, as we did not see any cameras, but we certainly saw Colton shirtless at the club, kissing on a couple dudes. So I know you both are mass holes, and I'm sure you would have opinions about this, so I just wanted to get your thoughts and hear you guys gab about Colton being out in P-Town. Love you guys. Bye.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Not surprised. Colton at A-House. As you've suspected, we have spent many a night at A-House.
Things have gotten a little twist at A-House for us.
Definitely.
I feel like, wait, did we do a talent show there?
No, that was at, like, another bar on Commercial.
But Sam did a talent show there.
Oh my God, he did. And not to, again, like, expose his privacy, he did, like, a talent show and it ended, like, really badly and, like, he ran away. We missed it. We was like, we came the week after and he was like, had already done it.
Why do I feel like I saw them rehearsing though? And I was there, like, in Rostam's barn, and, like, that was the same week that I, like,
because remember we hosted,
I famously, like, everyone was watching me, like, blow that Canadian guy through a window and all you could see was my bucket hat bobbing up and down.
Okay. I never saw that. I feel like you're confusing it when we, like, hosted Sam playing a concert at, like, another bar.
No, I'm not confusing it with that time we hosted him. I remember that was that we did, like, a comedy night at a different bar. Anyway, the point is Colton's at A-House being sloppy. And, okay, I just saw him on Instagram yesterday, like, or I saw, like, Gus Kenworthy, like, posting about him. I was just like, ugh, not these fucking cheesy ass Instagram faggots being like, hell yes, welcome to the community. And it's just like, so Gus Kenworthy is showing him, like, how to be basic and just, like,
it's
Sky vodka.
Provincetown is so Sky, first off, and it's like I'm already imagining, like, Colton walk his, like, beefy ass, like, walking around in, like, the tiniest khaki shorts that are just kind of, like, bulging in actually an unflattering way where it's like, you're so buff, but why does this make you look fat? And just like,
these guys, I'm sorry, it's always leg day with these queens.
No,
and I'm like, it's too much leg day.
This is what I'm saying. Everyone's saying, like, oh, 5-inch, 3-inch shorts, and I'm just like, sorry, let's bring it back to Kevin Smith. I'm all about 9-inch. 9-inch and seam. Okay. Do you remember at A-House when me and, like, Ellen, like, didn't get in because they were just being like, it's too leather, we're not letting you guys in?
Maybe that was the bar above, though, that like, is a leather bar.
I think you guys were going to the leather bar and...
Yeah, and Ellen was in like such a just like blazer and dress and like being such a professor. And they were like, actually, like, this is for leather daddies.
Right, and I was in my massive shorts. And they were like,
don't need you guys. And are
like, logging. But our like friends are like upstairs and they're like, no.
I mean, the classic debate, no women in the gay bar, and honest. And that night you lost the debate. Obviously it's like I support Colton Underwood being the first gay bachelor. But I think that he is fake.
He's absolutely fake, but also so are a lot of other fucking faggots walking down Commercial Street. No offense.
Yeah. I'm just like...
I guess I'm like Colton and P-Town with some cameras. Sure.
I mean, yeah, I support that.
I support it. Like, obviously, it's like...
And I want to say that Gus Kimberly follows me, so I have to support him, too. But I'm also just like, you, like, didn't win the gold. Like, congrats.
And sorry, I actually don't know who Gus is.
He's like a snowboarder or a skier or something.
Oh, he's a gay skier.
He's a gay Olympian. And it's like, obviously, he like didn't win, but it's very like parlayed his Olympian-ness into a career as like a gay influencer.
I guess like P-Town is this place for 41-year-old cheesy gays.
Mostly from Boston.
Mostly from Boston, but some come from D.C. And if Colton is there doing a show and grinding at A-House, you know, the only annoying thing is, you know, if then no one can get into A-House because... Colton is there.
And all the cameras are there. It just seems crowded.
Yeah, I feel like Colton
has the most like average dick.
Colton is also just like a little bit of a snooze to me. I mean, I watched some of that season and that's why I'm bored about it.
Yeah.
Because it's him going to A House and then going to tea, sipping like a gay water, aka Tito's and soda. And he's like, it just is turning so entertainment tonight. And he's like, right now I'm at the Atlantic Boathouse. This is a great place to dance with guys and live out loud.
I'm sure it's so taxi TV. I'm like, he is also, I mean, every bachelor is wildly boring and has four brain cells. That's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
I don't think any bachelor, like, I don't think like a show with Matt James, who was the most recent one, like going to like straight clubs would be that interesting either.
No, none of it would be interesting. It'd be fun if we could go to Provincetown and they do some sort of like live bachelor at like a club.
I would love to see an actually gay bachelor, unlike that like bad gay bachelor that happened like 5 years ago on Logo.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. Yeah, we're fine with Colton being cheesy in Provincetown, I guess. But I love that.
This makes me sad I'm not going to P-Town this summer.
Yeah, I'm going.
But I'm
going
to be in a port town.
You're going to be in a port town. And that's awesome.
I'm gonna be in Marseille. Okay, thank you so much for your calls.
Literally, thank you so much for your calls. This was like the most fun I've ever had.
I'm actually vibrating with joy. We
want to keep doing this.
Yeah, we have so many that we have to record another episode of it because we're not even halfway through.
And if you hear this when this comes out, I think we'll be doing this over and over again. And
yeah, keep calling in and leave messages whenever you feel like it. And we will like play them randomly. And that, it'll become a new part of the pod.
And that number again is 929-445-4730. Again, that's the Club Kid Hotline at 929-445-4730. Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and Give Me Some Head Gum. The show is produced by Peg Murnane with editorial support from Leon Nay Fuck Me in the Ass, Andrew Parson Daddy Roleplay, and Madeline Kaplan Me in My Hole. Our production manner is Persia Your Lips for Lynn. Engineering by Ferris Monchi. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Whore. Artwork by Teddy He's Not Shooting Blanks at Chips NY. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends about us at your next circle jerk.
That was a HeadGum podcast. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.